And now we'll have our first reading.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. To give the context, this is the final chapter of Isaiah. The people of Israel have returned from exile to Babylon to a devastated Jerusalem. Their enemies are present and they need encouragement. Jerusalem and all her friends, be happy. All of you who are sad for her, be happy and rejoice with her. Be happy that you will receive mercy, like milk coming from her breast. Jerusalem's milk will satisfy you. You will drink it and enjoy her glory. This is what the Lord says. Look, I will give Jerusalem peace that will flow in like a river. Wealth from all the nations will come flowing into her like a flood. And like little babies, you will drink that milk. I will hold you in my arms and bounce you on my knees. I'll comfort you like a mother comforting her child. You'll be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see these things, you will be happy. You will be free and grow like grass. The Lord's servants will see his power, but his enemies will see his anger. Look, the Lord is coming with fire. His armies are coming with clouds of dust. He is angry and he will punish his enemies with flames. The Lord will judge the people and will punish them with fire and his sword. There will be many people killed by the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is from Luke. Jesus is starting on his way to Jerusalem. He's got that sense of the time is coming when he has to go to Jerusalem and what is going to be holding to him. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Don't go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As we are standing, let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We listen to two passages from the scriptures. One from Isaiah chapter 66, and the second one from Luke chapter 10. Isaiah, a very important prophetic book in the Old Testament. He lived in a period of political instability in Jerusalem and in Judah and in Israel. The threat came from foreign powers. The Assyrians came first and dismantled the northern kingdom, the Israel. The Babylonians came as a big threat to Jerusalem as well as Judah. In this context, Isaiah is prophesying. It's a very difficult time. Why Israel, Judah, and the people in Jerusalem are going through such a big problem? It is all because of their own sins. They were going away from God, and God was kind of teaching them, helping them to come back, but they were still going away. In this context, Isaiah is giving a message of restoration. God is there for you. He is like a mother. As a mother comforts his child, so I will comfort you. We can easily remember these words. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts his child, so I will comfort you. It's a message of restoration. God is always there to embrace you, accept you, receive you, welcome you. God is always there to restore you if you turn to him. That's what Isaiah is teaching in his prophetic book. Somebody recently asked me, is the Lord in the Old Testament less gracious than the Lord in the New Testament? I believe that's a wrong question. God is same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always gracious. He is always there to embrace us. When we turn to Him, He does not reject us, but He accepts with open arms. So that's the image we get it from the Old Testament. As a mother embraces his child, so God embraces us. That's the same image we see in Jesus when he came to this world to preach the kingdom. His kingdom is having the same news. He is there to restore us. His kingdom is with restoration, with peace, with joy, with hope, with healing. He has come to establish his kingdom, and this kingdom is giving restoration. That's what Jesus is doing. If you look at Satan, for that matter, he is dangerous. When you give him a little room, a very little room, he slowly begins to occupy the entire room. And when he occupies for destruction. He completely destroys layer by layer, part by part, inch by inch, he infiltrates and ruins. That's not the image that we see in our God. We see our Lord standing with open arms, inviting all of us, come. He is there to welcome you, receive you, accept you, invite you, embrace you. Come. That's kingdom of God. His kingdom means healing, restoration, and peace. So when Jesus came to this world, he brought this kingdom. And to expand this kingdom, he used his own people. First, he sent his 12 disciples, 2 by 2, 6 teams he sent ahead of him. They went and they healed people, they preached the kingdom. And now in Luke's gospel, he sends 72. In some writing it is 70, and some gospel it is 72. But yes, he sent a larger number because his kingdom is growing. 12 became 72, and then he is keeping on adding people, and he says, go, go. He's sending people to his kingdom work. Some may ask, he's sending only the pastors, the priests, chaplains, the evangelist, the one who is being paid. They are the ones who are sent. No. As you see this number, these 72 people are ordinary people. Simple people who belong to his group. He sends everyone. He is sending all of us. In 1989, in Manila, a world missionary conference took place. In that conference, they discussed there are only two kinds of evangelists. We are all evangelists, but only two kind. One is lizard evangelist, and another one is frog evangelist. What is lizard evangelist? I don't think in your houses you have got lizards. The lizards go all around your house and look for its feed. Frog, people like us, the pastors who sit in a place, wait for the feed to come. But lizards, you go all over the world. You live in your workplace. Sorry, you go to your workplace. You meet with people. So we are all God's messengers sent out by God. When you look at these 72, or for that matter, 12, no special training, no formal ministry kit, no title, no uniform. only one thing. Jesus sent them. Jesus sent them. Now that's the only qualification. Jesus sent us. In my two previous churches, ambassadors were coming and worshiping in our church in Kuwait. Fortunately, our organist was a Dutch ambassador. A Dutch ambassador to Kuwait was our organist. So I had the opportunity to meet with these ambassadors. Some of them are highly intellectuals. And when I was in Dubai, I met with an ambassador. Let me leave the country unnamed. Very ordinary, very simple. And I don't think he studied high-level degree. I know in these countries, ambassadors are politically appointed positions. But he is important. Why he is important? Because he represents his country. He is sent by his country. We are important because we are sent by our Lord Jesus, whether you are intellectual or unintellectual, whether you are literate or illiterate, but you are sent by Lord Jesus to be his messengers in this world. Very important. And we are sent to bring peace because the world out there is waiting to receive the message of peace, waiting to receive the purpose in which they, waiting to know the purpose in which they live in this world. They are waiting to receive the message of love. They want to receive the message of hope. And we carry that message. And Jesus says, go, go. Now we see here some interesting elements. Jesus says, do not carry a purse, bag, or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. What does Jesus say here? That means don't bother about what to carry. This work belongs to the Lord. This is his mission. He provides you. He will take care of you. Don't worry about what to take care. What to take with you. And he says, do not greet anyone on the road. What does that mean? That means that do not divert your attention. You are sent with a purpose. Don't engage unnecessarily with another things that diverts you. Focus yourself on the work that is sent, for which you are sent. And what you should do when you go? Very simple. Go and greet people. Give them peace. Heal the sick because you are sent by the Lord with his power. Heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. So the message is very clear. You have to go. Give them peace, heal the sick, and preach that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus is the King. Receive him. Now, here there is another important thing is, just a minute, I missed a line. Do not go from place to place. That is again mentioned here. When you go to a village, say, stay wherever you first entered. Don't go from house to house. What does that mean? You are sent. Do not, whatever is provided, receive it. Do not expect or do not demand comfort or luxury. Whatever is offered to you, receive it. Receive it. This work is given to us. 12 people, 72 people, now we are all given to this work. This work is not given to angels. This work is not given to anyone else, any of the heavenly host. This is given to us, the humans. We have to take this message with us. And these, Paul says very beautifully in his second letter to Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasures in jars of clay. We have this treasure. What is this treasure? The message. We are the messengers. What is the message? The message is Jesus is the Savior of the world. We carry this message in the jars of clay, in the clay pot. We are the clay pot. And we carry this treasure in us. That's what Paul says. When we say clay pot, this clay pot has got weakness. The clay pot is broken. The clay pot has limitation. We are fragile. We are weak. But the message that we carry has the power to transform the people out there. So he reminds ourselves that yes, we are weak. Yes, we are fragile, but we carry this important treasure in us. These 72 people came back rejoicing. They rejoiced. It is all because demons were subject to him, subject to them. In God's name, in Jesus' name, demons obeyed. So they were rejoicing. Oh, we have got power. Oh, we could do a healing. Oh, we have got talents. Oh, we have got a special power in us. Jesus looked at them and said, do not rejoice because you have got power. Do not rejoice because you have got a special talent or special gift or special gift. Do not rejoice over that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you are God's child. Rejoice because he has considered you as his messenger. Rejoice because you carry this wonderful news in your clay pot. Rejoice because through you he is working in this world. Rejoice because you are God's child. Very beautifully it is mentioned here. So the message is simple. Go to the world. Say to them, try Jesus. Say to them, will you allow me to pray for you? I want to bring healing in Jesus' name. I'm not the one who brings the healing. Jesus is bringing healing. And do that little work. It is always the first step that is difficult. But when you take the first step, the rest will come automatically. But nobody is there to push you to do that. You have to do it. I remember a story. A king wanted to marry off his daughter. But there were many princes who were interested to marry her. So he planned a competition. He invited them all to a pond and said, whoever swims across this pond first will marry my daughter. So all these princes stood on one side. Nobody was willing to jump into the pond. And the message is clear. But before they jump in, the king said, look, in this pond, there are many crocodiles. The one who swims across the pond will marry. Nobody was willing to jump into it. But at last, somebody jumped in. And he swam across. The king gave him his daughter. People gathered around him and asked, hey man, you must be a brave man. He said, what are you talking, braving? Somebody pushed me and I swam across. Unfortunately, in God's kingdom, nobody is going to push you to do the work. God invites you, and he's always gentle. He's always tender. He says, why don't you go and give the message to your neighbor? Go and tell people that Jesus is Lord. Because the world out there is waiting to hear the news of hope, news of restoration, news of peace and love. And that we carry. May the dear Lord help us so that we don't lack in sitting and not doing anything, but we go out, jump in, and do the work. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.